We're doing the book of Haggai. We're up to what's called the second chapter, the 10th Pasuk. And Hashem had implored of the people to build the second temple. And the people got their act together to build the second temple. And the Pasuk tells us in Pasuk Yud, Be'esrim ve'arba'ah latishiyi bishnat shitayim lidlo yavish haya devar Adonai b'yad Haggai hanavi le'mor. It was the 24th day of the 9th month. So that puts us in Tishrei Cheshvan Kislev. Yes, the 24th of Kislev. In the second year of Dariavish, the 24th of Kislev, Hashem said to Haggai the prophet, saying the following, Ko amar Adonai Tzevaot She'al na ha-Kohanim Torah le'mor. Hashem tells Haggai the prophet, check with the Kohanim, check that they didn't forget the laws of the Torah in their period in exile. Le'mor, Hashem says, check with them what we're about to see in the next pasuk, meaning ask them the following question. Hein yisa'ish besal kodesh bichnaf bigdo v'naga bichnafo אל הלחם ואל הנזיד, ואל היין ואל שמן, ואל כל מאכל היקדש, ויענו הכהנים, ויאמרו לו. So Hashem says, test them. Ask them the following question. If a person carries besal kodesh, if a person carries meat that was separated, kodesh could sometimes mean holy, but kodesh literally means separate. And here the pasuk is referring to meat that was separated because it was tameh. If a person carries meat that is tameh, meat of a carcass or of one of the eight creepy crawly creatures that defile a person, and he carries it bichnaf bigdo, he carries it in the pockets of his clothing or the hem of his clothing, v'naga bichnafo, and then the hem of his clothing, the corner of his clothing, touches el alechem, to a loaf of bread. So now the garment is a rishon letuma, the loaf of bread is a sheni letuma, ve'el anazid, and then the bread touches some chulin. Nazid is something that was cooked. So he has the tum'ah in his garment. The garment becomes a rishon letum'ah from the carcass or the vermin that's dead in it. The garment touches bread. The bread is rishon letum'ah, first degree. The bread is sheni letum'ah, second degree, because the garment was rishon letum'ah. Then the bread touches el anazid, touches some kind of cholin, some kind of something cooked. So that's shlishi letumah, number three. Ve'el hayayin, and then that those lentils, that dish that was cooked, touches wine. So then the wine becomes a revi'i, fourth degree. Ve'el shemen, and then the wine. So here the commentary say it means either it touched wine or oil, one or the other. Ve'el kol ma'achal, and then if it touches any other food, hayikdash, do we say that tum'ah extends itself to the fourth degree? So that was the test for the kohanim. If this third degree tum'ah touches anything else, does it make it into fourth degree tum'ah? Does tum'ah extend itself that far? So the Kohanim answer him, lo. They say no. Now Chazal point out over here that the Kohanim erred, that when it comes to holy food, so then we do say there's revi'i letuma. Now here there's really a machloket Rav and Shmuel. One says that the way you read the pasuk is the way we explained, that he asked them, do you have fourth degree in tum'ah? And they said no, and they were wrong, because when it comes to the holy foods of the temple, we do treat fourth degree as tum'ah. And the other one says, no, you got to read the pasuk that it touches the lentils. The lentils touch the wine, and the wine touches the oil. And then you hit the fifth degree, or the wine and oil touch the food, and you hit the fifth degree. And that was the question that the Kohanim were asked. Do you have fifth degree tumah in holy foods? And they got it right. Machloket Rav and Shmuel, whether the Kohanim got it right or wrong when Chagai tested them. How you read the pasuk here? What? Let's see, wait. Vayomer Chagai. So Chagai says, okay, if they haven't figured out that there's fourth degree tumah, let's see what else they do or don't know. Im yigat me nefesh b'chole lehayitma. If someone who is tamei nefesh, meaning someone who was an avi avota tumah, if the tumah began with a corpse, a dead body, so then you up everything one notch. So then he touches the garment, so the corpse touches the garment, which becomes an avatumah. The garment touches the bread, which becomes a rishonitumah, first degree. The bread touches the dish, which becomes a shenilitumah, second degree. And that touches any form of food, which is third degree. So he figures if they didn't get it right, that there's fourth degree tumah in Kodesh. What about if it's a third degree? Does that become tamei? He wanted to know, do they know that much? Vayanu akohanim vayomiru yitma. So the Kohanim said, yes, this much they knew. The third degree tumah is relevant. Vayan chagai vayomir kein ha'am hazeh v'chein ha'goy hazeh lifanai ne'um Adonai v'chein kol ma'aseh yedeyim v'asher yakrivu sham tameihu. Chagai said, kein ha'am hazeh. He says, just like you see, the Kohanim don't know Torah, and they're the ones who are supposed to teach Torah. They're supposed to be the teachers. That's where the nation's holding to. They, just like the Kohanim don't know Torah, so too the nation doesn't know Torah. V'chena goyaze, and so too this nationality, lefanainu Hashem, before me, Hashem says, when it comes to them, the Torah that I gave them, they don't know it. V'chein kol ma'asei dehim, and just like they erred in this law, Chagai says, so too, they're erring in every other thing of Torah. They're getting everything wrong. V'asher yakrivu sham tameihu. And now everything they're going to bring on the altar, if they don't learn the Torah properly, then they'll be bringing defiled things on the altar. They don't know the laws of the Torah. So Chagai is encouraging the people to inaugurate a second temple. And then when Chagai interviews the Kohanim, he finds that they don't know the laws of Tuman Tara the way they should. And then he says, well, that's a reflection on the nation. The nation doesn't either know the Torah the way they should. And so if we'll inaugurate the temple, they'll be bringing defiled foods as sacrifices. And so Chagai implores of the people, V'ata simuna levavchem min hayom hazeh v'mahala. And now, I want you to take note and focus. Simuna levavchem min hayom hazeh v'mahala. Chagai says to them, if you don't know the laws of Tumah and Tahara, so our preparations of building a temple isn't going to be good enough. You guys have to learn. You guys have to focus. Simuna levavchem. You guys have to understand that beforehand, okay, you didn't learn. It was a problem. But from now on, you know, this is going to be relevant. You have to know these laws. Miterem sum heaven el even dechal Adonai. Beforehand, we didn't have a temple. Now we're starting to build stone on top of stone to build the temple. Miyotam ba el arimat esrim v'ayita asara. Remember, you used to come to a pile where you thought you had 20 stones and you find only 10 stones. Why is it that we weren't successful? Ba el hayekev lachsof 50 pura v'ayita esrim. You come to the oil press and you assume you're going to find over there 50 measurements, I'm sorry, of the wine press. The Yekev is the wine press. And you find only 20. How come? How come is it that your assets, even the assets for the temple, seem to be diminishing? Hiketi etchem v'shidafon v'yirakon v'abarad et kol ma'aseh yedeichem. I've smote you, Hashem says. I've taken everything you own and diminished it. Why is it? Because you're not learning the Torah, so you're not keeping the Torah. And I don't see you repenting. I don't see you returning. The Navi says, you see the Kohanim, they don't know the Torah, neither do you. And that's why every time you look at your assets, they seem to be diminishing. Because Hashem says, I'm punishing you, I'm sending you a message, and you're not getting the hint. Simuna levavchem min hayom hazeh v'mahala. Now take note from here on in. Mi yom 24 latishi. From this day, the 24th of the month of Kislev, lemin hayom asher yusad heichal Adonai, simu levavchem. From the day that we laid down the foundations of the Heichal, from here on in, you guys have to realize, you have to be aware. Ha'od hazera b'megurah v'adagefen v'ateina v'arimon v'eitz hazayit lo nasa. Is there any more grain in the storage houses? Ha'od hazera b'megurah. Megurah is the storage house, the silo, and he says, you've already planted all your grain. You have very little grain left in the storage house. This is the beginning of winter. This is Kislev. So everyone's planting. So the Navi says, take note. Do you guys still have grain in your silos? Even the grape trees, the grapevines, the fig trees. The fig tree is unique because the fig tree offers fruit one at a time. They don't all ripen at the same time. V'arimon and the pomegranate tree, v'etz hazayit and the olive tree, lo nasa, they haven't bore their fruit. Min hayom hazeh avarech. But from now on, now that you're building the temple the way you should, I will bless them. So that's the prophecy. Realize why you haven't had the blessing until now, and from now on you will have the blessing. You have to do your end, you have to learn Torah, you have to learn how to do it right, and I will do my end. Now we're coming to the conclusion of the book. The Navi says, "Vayehi demar Adonai shenit el Chagai b'esrim b'arba'ah lachodesh leimor." And that same day, on the 24th of the month of Kislev, Hashem gave Chagai a second prophecy, and Hashem said, "Emor el Zerubbabel pachat Yehudah leimor." Say to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, tell him the following: Ani marish et hashamayim ve'et haaretz. Hashem says, I will make great noise in the heaven and in the earth. And Zerubbabel is building the temple. Ve'hafachti kisei mamlachot. Vehishmati chozek mamlechot hagoyim. And I want him to be aware that as he's building the temple is not going to last forever. There will be great noise in the world. It'll seem as though the stars in heaven are fighting against them to destroy the temple. And ultimately, Hashem says, Vafachti kisei mamlechot. Ultimately, I will take revenge. There will be a future redemption, and this isn't it. Meaning, they're building the second temple, and Hashem tells them, I want you to know, this is a temporary thing. The second temple is not the final temple. Ultimately, it will be destroyed, but ultimately, v'afachti kisei mamlechot, I will turn around, I will overturn the thrones of the nations. Vehishmati chozek mamlechot hagoyim, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. Veafachti merkava veruchveha, I will overturn the chariot and those that ride on it. V'yaredu susim v'rochev v'yehem ish b'cherev achiv. And the horses and the horsemen together will fall as Hashem makes great confusion among them, and they'll be fighting one another, and they will fall. Bayom hahu ne'um Adonai tzevaot ekachacha Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel avdi ne'um Adonai v'samticha kachotam ki v'cha v'chaoti ne'um Adonai tzevaot. Hashem says, and on that day, that final day of reckoning, I will take you, Zerubbabel, and over here the meaning is I will take of your descendant, Zerubbabel, to be my Mashiach. V'samticha kachotam, I will place you like a signet ring, just like a person wears a signet ring, he wears it all the time, so too Mashiach is going to be with me all the time. Ki v'cha b'chalti, for I've chosen you and your descendants to be my Mashiach, Ne'um Hashem Tzvakot. And it's interesting, the prophecy ends on mixed emotions. You got mixed feelings. They're focusing throughout the prophecy. The focus is build the temple. And finally, they're getting around to building the temple. And the Navi says, it's not going to work if you don't learn Torah. You can't do it if you don't know the laws of the Torah. And then Hashem says, okay, now that they get the hint, they're going to start learning Torah. So the temple will be successful, but it's not going to last forever. And it's interesting that this is a recurring theme. The Jews have just left Mitzrayim. And all of Am Yisrael gets prophecy on the Yam Suf. What do they say? Ad yavor amcha Hashem, ad yavor am zukanita. All this till they pass into Israel, till they pass a second time into Israel. Meaning, they haven't yet entered Israel. They've just left Egypt. And they get a prophecy that when they enter Israel, it's going to be a limited success. They're going to enter, they're going to have the land, and eventually they'll be exiled. Meaning, the people have not yet received the Torah. They have not yet entered the land of Israel, but they're already receiving a prophecy that the first ascent, the first entrance to Israel, is going to be a limited success. And now, we have the same thing happening. They're entering a second time, and again, they're told it has its limitations. So the Navi, for some reason, sees it, or Hashem, it's not really the Navi's choice. Hashem sees it as important to let us know at the onset of the building of the second temple that it's not going to last forever. And the question is why. So it could be that the perspective is very important. Meaning, it's less devastating if you know that there's potential. It could be that when we know there's potential, then we'll behave ourselves. Meaning, part of the problem in the period of the first temple is that people thought God would never let them be taken down. The people kept saying, if God's own house is on the line, he's not going to let it go. He's for sure not going to let the land be destroyed or the enemies overtake us. It could be other reasons as well. But for whatever reason, the Navi does give us this insight at the very beginning of the Second Temple that Hashem says this isn't going to last forever. In certain respects, the fact that Hashem forewarns us that this is going to happen also should minimize the blow in a philosophical sense. Meaning, when the first temple was destroyed, the people had a hard time swallowing that they're still the chosen people, that God's still involved in what's going on. How could it be that God let this happen? If Hashem tells them now, at the beginning of the second temple, I want you to know it's not going to be forever. So aside from the perspective it gives us, At the time of the building, it also gives us a long-term perspective on the Second Temple. And we'll begin the book of Zechariah. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi are the final prophets of Jewish history. And Rashi begins the book of Zechariah with an introduction. Rashi tells us something he doesn't say on any other book. He says, the prophecy of Zechariah is very sealed because there are visions that seem like dreams that need interpretation, and we can't figure out their interpretation until the Mashiach comes. And I will do my best to explain the verses one by one and explain their interpretations that seem similar to them. And I will also use the translation of Yonatan ben Uziel, but Rashi says it's hard. And it seems like Rashi is writing a disclaimer at the beginning of the book. It seems like Rashi is even indicating to us that he doesn't have a tradition on interpreting this book, because that's what Rashi says. I'm going to try to make it work based on the text. So the Navi begins, Zechariah. בחודש השמיני בשנת שתיים לדריה וש. It was the eighth month, meaning it was the month of Cheshvan, and the second year of Darius. היה דבר אדוני אל זכריה בן ברכיה בן עידו הנביא לאמור. זכריה, the son of Berechiah, the son of Ido, the prophet, had the following prophecy. Remember, they're about to begin rebuilding the temple. Remember, we saw in the book Haggai that in the 24th of Kislev, a month later, they're going to actually start the rebuilding of the temple. So the prophecy of Zechariah, the prophecy of Zechariah is that same year, a month earlier, in the month of Cheshvan. And we'll pick up here, Bezrat Hashem, next week.